Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Bruce and I continue here on Sports Daily, a midweek edition. Earl's kind of setting the bar high for himself every time he calls.
He's unreal.
Yeah.
He's unreal.
But he has no fear. He's a Chiefs fan 100%. So it'll be certainly be fun this weekend when the Chiefs take on the Patriots. We go now to Mike Kennedy, voice of the Shockers. Late tip tonight, UCF and Wichita State. That gauntlet continues for Wichita State. Haven't talked in a minute. How you been, Mike?
I'm sorry?
I said we haven't talked in a minute. How you been?
I've been fine, hanging in there like everybody, I guess.
That a boy.
At his press conference yesterday, Greg was asked about the early schedule in the conference for Wichita State and how there are certainly no favors been given to the Shockers. It'll continue tonight with UCF. But let's look back to Houston. What did you see bright spots-wise for Wichita State that allowed them to not only stay close with Houston, but kind of had them where they wanted them until about 10 minutes left to go in the game?
You know, it's kind of hard to answer that specific question because you see continuing improvement, but it's kind of sporadic. You see some really good things here and there, but then you see a lack of those same things at crucial times in games against really good teams like Houston. But the biggest thing to me was they ran their offense efficiently against probably the best half-court defense that they faced this year. A lot of the turnovers, there were 15, but several of those were offensive foul calls that, a couple of which were maybe a little questionable. So it wasn't like they turned the ball over the way they had been against pressure. And they really battled. I mean, Houston's a very tough physical team, and the Shockers never backed down. They hung in there, traded as good as they got there. Houston's out rebounding its opponents by 8 a game. The margin was 1. So little things like that are really what looked better in that particular game.
Voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy joining us. It was interesting that Greg yesterday was, I can't remember the question, but he mentioned that he has to be in the midst of this run that the Shockers are on. He has to be, while not saying that he can't be disappointed, but he can't wear it on his sleeve day after day against with this young team or else it'll rub off on them. And I think that was an interesting observation by him because, frankly, Mike, in each of the last 10 or 12 years, he could be PO'd for days if he wanted to be, but he had a veteran team that would tell all the younger guys, all right, don't worry about it. Here's what we're doing. Here's what he means. Here's why he's being the way he is. Not that he's baby in this bunch, Mike, but he's got to take a different approach than he has for quite a while, doesn't he?
He does, and to me, because of that, his recognition of that and the way he's handling all of this makes this one of his best coaching jobs, I think, since he's been here. And that may sound strange when you look at all the success he's had and all those things he's done, but he's kind of recognized, even going back to preseason practice, that this is a team that has to be handled differently. He's never in his coaching career had a team that was this young, and it became pretty evident pretty early that a lot of things that he's used to seeing in terms of execution and recognition were going to take a lot longer to get there. And so I thought he explained it well at the end of the game against Houston when he said, you know, I've got to stay positive. We as a coaching staff have to stay positive, but also tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly when they get in video sessions, they're showing them the mistakes they make and they're not hedging on it, but also trying to point out the positive things so that they keep them engaged and keep them feeling like they are making some progress.
You know, Mike, you can't win close games until you win close games. It's the ultimate catch-22 in sports. But from your experience, if this is a team right now that's taking one step up and two steps back, how does it get to the point where it's taking two steps up and only one step back? Because that might be the next stage of development for this team.
And I might even, I won't disagree with you, Bruce, but I'll kind of qualify it and say it may have reached the point where it's more one step up and one step back. But
fair enough.
To get to that next stage you're talking about, a lot of it's decision-making, and some of that just comes with the experience they're gaining. I mean, he pointed out several occasions in that game where they were, say they were up eight, had the ball with a chance to make it 10, and just made a, you know, a sloppy pass or something. That understanding of how important every possession is, and that you can't ever let up mentally, or you just can't let yourself make those mistakes that give the other team a chance to get back in it. And I think maybe that's the easiest explanation of what it's going to take from here.
Mike Kennedy joining us. Shockers take on UCF tonight at the Roundhouse. UCF is 13-2 and 3-0 in the league. So while Cincinnati and Houston get plenty of run in the American this year, UCF was picked to win it, and they're not disappointing so far. They're 3-0. And a big reason why is a guy that Shockers didn't see last year. Taco Fall is 7 feet 6 inches tall, and not much more needs to be said besides that. However, he is shot blocker extraordinaire, like you would think, and he's shooting 80% from the floor. How does Wichita State, treading lightly, obviously would be a good place to start when you get around the rim, but how do you attack a guy like that, and how do you prepare for a guy like that?
It's difficult, as Coach Marshall pointed out, and as we coach it show, there's no way to simulate that in practice unless you have somebody stand on a ladder with a broom or something. It's just way different than anything you're ever going to face. I mean, honestly, I remember the volleyball team one year facing a young lady from Texas who was a 4-time NCAA high jump champion, and they had one of the coaches stand on this great big box just to give the team some sense of the hitting angle that they were going to face. But you can't really do that in practice. You just have to try to look at video and give them some understanding of you can't do this that you normally can do against people. One of the things he pointed out that's really interesting is most teams that play zone, and UCF may play some, don't want you to get the ball in the middle. That's where it's vulnerable. UCF wants you to get the ball in the middle against their zone because there he is, just messing up everything and blocking everything in sight. So it's just a totally different mindset. And you mentioned they were the preseason favorite because even with him missing half the year last year, they still had 7 guys coming back that averaged at least 5 points a game. So it's a veteran team. They've added another piece, a 6'11 transfer from George Washington. And then Aubrey Dawkins, the coach's son, transferred from Michigan, was going to be one of their stars last year and got hurt before the season started. So they've added a lot to an already veteran team.
Mike, you've been around the block more than a few times in this program, and Shane and I talked about this a lot in the summer and leading into the end of the season, and maybe it's come more to fruition than we even expected, but I'm going to put the positive spin on this because I really believe this to be a point of rebirth, invigoration, kind of a new start, because the program had gotten to where it was, and then you had, of course, a mass exodus of experience. This, by many accounts, if you listen to Greg Marshall, was something that they were going to have to deal with anyway. But if you take away the frustration of being a game under 500 and losing some close games and all of the growth that goes on, isn't there some feeling of, you know, we're in on the ground level of something that's really going to be exciting? I guess that's kind of just the way I'm feeling about things.
I agree. And I think, you know, one of the things that people should understand, and we won't go through the litany of all the individual cases.
Sure.
Because somebody will ask, how'd they let themselves get to this point? Successful program, being this young and so forth. You know, there were 3 or 4 cases of guys leaving that hadn't been planned on and for various reasons. And so they certainly thought they were in better shape in terms of what experience they were going to have and just got hit with kind of a perfect storm. But it's also a matter of now they're in this new league, and they wanted to be there, and they now have in their second year a pretty clear understanding of the level of talent it's going to take to be as good in this league as they were in the Missouri Valley. And they're getting there. A guy like Dexter Dennis, for instance, and some of these other freshmen, you know, certainly have a chance to be that level of player in this league, and they're just going to have to add more. And I think they would admit that they might have missed on a couple of guys here and there. They're going to have to continue to raise the level, but that's where they're headed. And certainly with the improvement you're seeing, I think even by the end of this season, people will get a better picture of where they're headed with this program and this sort of rebirth or restart.
And to your point, Mike, what would this team look like with Landry Shamet and Austin Reeves still on the team?
Yeah.
You couldn't have predicted those guys leaving for the most part.
And Landry Shamet, let's say, okay, that they all kind of knew that's at least a possibility. Austin Reeves was a total surprise. Alex Lomax was a really unique situation where suddenly Penny Hardaway gets the job at Memphis and he wants to go, and Greg did the right thing and let him go. But he's, with all due respect to the guys we have, he's better than the guys we have at point guard, even as a freshman, and that would have been a positive element. People forget that C.J. Kizer transferred, and he's a guy that had some unusual off-court circumstances, really not his fault, but it got him kind of messed up with school. He wasn't going to be eligible academically. They have him. There's a guy that's playing 25, 28 minutes a game, third year in the program, knows the system, really athletic, can defend. Yeah. So, I mean, you start adding those guys into the mix. You could even throw, you know, Ronald Berger came off a redshirt year 3 years ago when Anton Grady went down with that spinal concussion, they called it. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew at the time if he was going to be back. And so Ronald comes off a redshirt year, and it was kind of a wasted year, as it turned out. He would be a fifth-year senior. So, I mean, there's all of that that's gone into building this.
I hadn't even – that's a great point. I'd forgotten about that. And on top of it, there's a dynamic, and this all sounds very apologist, and so I apologize in advance for it. But Mike, there's also a chemistry that's involved in the coaching staff. There were two other changes in the last right before the season essentially got going, in a pattern of the last few years where there's been quite a bit of change in the coaching staff. Greg remains obviously the common thread through it all, but there's going to be some adjustment in that regard as well.
Sure, and I think that actually it's positive and it's really heading in the right direction. Isaac Brown has really settled in as a guy that's been here a few years now and really understands everything. Tyson Waterman is one of Greg's former players and certainly has an understanding of what it's like to play for him, the kind of kids that you need to have that will fit into that culture. And he also, you know, certainly has developed some contacts in recent years, developing through his career. And then Lou Gudino is a veteran Division I guy who was at Indiana State and New Mexico State and, you know, certainly had already developed some recruiting contacts and so forth in his career. So it's all coming together, and I think all of that's going to be part of what we were just talking about going forward.
Mike Kennedy joining us, UCF and Wichita State tonight at 9 o'clock. Mike and Dave will be on Classic Hits 103.7 KYN at 8 for the pregame and the tip shortly after 9. UCF 3-0 in the league, Wichita State looking for its first win in American play. Divine this however you want to, Mike, but what can Dexter Dennis turn into / become by the time he's done here?
I hope this isn't putting too much on him and expectations among fans getting unrealistic too fast, but to me he's a guy that could be, someone else isn't, Marcus McDuffie or whoever, could be the next NBA guy from Wichita State. He's got that kind of talent, athleticism. He's a great kid, and I think that he's going to be a star in this program. And right now it's mostly a matter of just realizing even how good he can be right now. And he's starting to feel some of that, starting to get some confidence. He's one of those nice kids that need to be a little meaner on the court consistently, just be a little more aggressive, but he could be a star for sure.
All right, we'll be listening tonight, 8 o'clock over on KEYN. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the time as always.
Thanks,
Mike.
All right, see you later. Get a nap there, Mike. Late tip, 9 o'clock. Won't be over and out of there until the wee hours of the morning. Plus, after the game, over on KEYN, you can hear
The evils of television, right?
Yeah. Although Greg pointed out, maybe it'll benefit Wichita State because UCF is an East Coast team. It'll be 10 o'clock by their clock, you know, so maybe
you're right.
Maybe it'll affect them a little bit. But, man, Taco Fall.
Do you have
Fall,
a feel for tonight?
Honestly, no.
Yeah, I don't either.
They are, with him in the middle, you would think a defensive team first because he's the ultimate eraser in the middle. Taco Fall, I'm talking about the 7'6 kid. But Johnny Dawkins' kid is pretty good too. And they are, if it's possible to be leading the league, receiving votes in the polls and under the radar, I think UCF remains to be simply because of Houston's start. That they, won their first 15 games and then Temple tripped them up, and then they clipped the Shockers down in Houston. But UCF just kind of cruising along at 3-0 in the league. Wichita State will have UCF next, and then on the 19th, Cincinnati comes up.
What a juggernaut, man. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, they just desperately need to get one of these games at home for no other reason than just to feel like, hey, look, we can break through.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, go knock down some shots early in this game. And let's see what happens. Let's put UCF on the defensive a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in a little bit of a hurry-up mode. Make them play from behind and see what happens. Why not? Try something different. All right, we'll get to OTD coming up on this day in history, January 16th, courtesy of Superior Rents, 21st and Ridge. You need rental, they've got it at Superior Rents. It's all in the name. It's all in the business at Superior Rents. We're back in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.